And I ask in Jesus' name. Please be seated. This is the third part of my sermon series on prayer. And the first week I talked about the reasons why we don't pray. Last week I talked about the reasons why we should pray. If you missed either of those two sermons, you can catch them at our YouTube channel or on our website. And I encourage you to do that. But today I want to talk to you about intercession. There was a five-year-old boy who was sitting in the back seat while his mother drove him to McDonald's. And as they were driving along, they saw the mother saw an accident up ahead. And as she normally did, she prayed out loud that everything would be okay, the persons would not be hurt or anything like that. And she pointed to the accident and said to her son, "We should pray." And so the son earnestly prayed from the back seat, "Dear God, please don't let that accident block the entrance to McDonald's." Well, isn't that kind of like our prayers many times? We kind of like to pray those prayers that kind of will help relieve the stress in our life, or maybe to make things more comfortable, or to make our lives happier. Well, I want to talk to you about intercession today, because when we think about intercession, that's a word that you may not have ever used. You may not think much about it, but intercession is really an important part of Christian prayer. And certainly it doesn't sound like something that's very warm or happy or familiar or a helpful part of our lives, but it could be all of those things in terms of our prayer life. Intercession is talking about building a bridge that connects our prayers with God, and it leads us toward a real joy in terms of our prayer life. Did you realize that intercession is not a prayer? Now, you can pray a prayer of intercession, but really, intercession is an action. It's an activity that one does. And really, intercession is an act of bringing two parties together. It's bridging a gap. It's making a connection that cannot otherwise be made. The Apostle Paul writes these words in Romans chapter 8. "Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us." So where is Jesus now? It says he's at the right hand of the Father and he's interceding for us. A little farther in the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews, we read these words. "Now there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office, but because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them." And so, Jesus lives to intercede for us. So what does that mean? Well, it means he brings us closer to the Father. Jesus told his disciples one time, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go prepare a place for you?" Then later on, he would go on to say, "No one can come to the Father except through me." In other words, I'm about to take an action that will enable you to dwell with the Father in heaven. You can't dwell with him now. You can't have a relationship with the Holy God unless I build a bridge, unless I perform the ultimate act of intercession. So Jesus built a bridge for us by laying down his life on the cross. Paul says it this way in the book of Colossians. He says, "Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he, God, has reconciled you to Christ by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation." Jesus became the bridge over troubled waters, if you will, that allowed us to be able to have a home in heaven, to be able to have our sins forgiven, to be able to come near to God. We couldn't have gotten there any other way. Now, let's look back at Romans chapter 8. If you'll turn in your bulletins to our second lesson today, Romans chapter 8. And Paul writes these words. He says this in verse 26. "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with words through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. So what's this, what is this passage telling us? This passage is telling us that we often don't know how to pray. We don't know what to pray for. We don't know what God's will is. Many times we don't know what God's mind is related to a particular situation that is causing us great anxiety or worry or is a real burden on our hearts. We just don't know what to pray. But the Holy Spirit knows what to pray. That's what Paul is saying here. So the Spirit himself makes intercession for us. He creates a bridge for us with wordless groans. We might be confused about what the will of God is for us in a particular situation, but the Holy Spirit is not confused about that. He knows God's will perfectly. So when we pray, the Holy Spirit helps us to make intercession to bridge that gap between our will and God's will, allowing us to pray according to God's will. The passage says that the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. The Greek word to help there refers to a situation where two parties mutually help to bear one another's burdens. Now, if I were to try to lift a couch up into a moving van, I would have a real trouble doing that. I probably couldn't do that. My wife could probably do that because she loves to move furniture, but I couldn't do that. I would need the help of someone else who would come along with me and lift up one side of the couch, and I'd lift up the other, and that would make it possible for us to do that. Well, that's what the Spirit does for us in our prayers. He comes alongside of us to help. He says, "Here I am, let me help you lift that. Let's carry that into the Father's presence together." The Spirit wants to help us carry our burdens to God, and that's what prayer is. Really, that's the definition of prayer, if you will, and that is the transference of a burden. David wrote this in Psalm 55, "Cast all of your burdens upon God, because he will sustain you." The Apostle Peter wrote these words in 1 Peter chapter 5, "Cast all of your anxiety upon him, because he cares for you." Have you ever done any backpacking in the wilderness? If you have, then you've no doubt taken a pack and had a tent inside your pack, along with maybe a sleeping bag, clothing, cooking utensils, food, that sort of thing. And if you've carried it any length of time, maybe you've carried it uphill a ways and you've carried it for a long time, when you finally decide to take a break and get some water or whatever, when you take that pack off of your shoulders, it is such a relief. I mean, you just can't imagine what it feels like to get that burden off of you. You almost feel like you can fly. And certainly, that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do for us. He wants to help us to slip the heavy weight off our shoulders and leave it before the Father's throne. He's ready and waiting to help us carry the burdens that we have. And as you call out to him more and more, he will become much more than just a burden bearer. He will truly become one of your best friends. The Holy Spirit is praying in and for us. There was a pastor who was asked by a couple to pray for them, and they asked for this request. "We're talking about making an offer on our house that's near to the church. We don't live very close, and it's a long drive every Sunday. Besides that, the new house is in a better school system. We're excited about it. Would you pray for us to be able to buy this house?" Well, the pastor said he would be happy to do that, and he laid his hands on their shoulders, and he began to pray. But he said this, "As I began to speak to the Lord out loud, I found myself praying in a way I hadn't intended. I heard myself saying, 'Lord, if this house isn't your will for them, if this isn't the best house, if this isn't the one you have picked out for them, I pray that they will find out some things that they don't know about it. I pray they will lose their peace and pull out.'" Well, that wasn't what I expected to pray at all. And I felt a little bit awkward because I'm sure it wasn't what they were expecting me to pray either. The next week, the pastor saw the couple again and asked, "What happened to the house?" The husband said, "Well, we found out some things that we didn't know about it. We lost our peace and we pulled out." His report to me was almost word for word what I had prayed for them the week before. In fact, they ended up finding another house that was even better. That's how the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. He in praying in us and for us. So Jesus intercedes for us. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us. But there's one more important piece to this puzzle. And that is, Scripture tells us that when we say our prayers of intercession, we are building bridges between God and the people for whom we pray. So let's imagine that you have a 21-year-old named Seth, and he is kind of heading down the wrong path. Maybe he's gotten involved with friends that are not good for him. Maybe he's starting to get into some really dark things in his life. He's abandoning the faith that he was raised in. And you begin to feel a bit helpless. You begin to wonder, what in the world am I going to do for him? How can I help him? I don't seem to be able to make any difference at all. And so you come to God and with this crushing weight on you, and you begin to ask God, what can I do? How can I help? Because you're deeply concerned about him and some of the choices that he's been making. And you feel helpless to change his course. So what do you do? How do you intercede for him? Well, first of all, take hold of God. In the New Testament, when the apostles asked Jesus, how should we pray? Jesus said this, say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. In other words, focus upon who God is. Focus upon his characteristics, his qualities. Focus upon his power. Focus upon his love. All the things that go into making up who God is. Begin to connect with God in that way in your prayers. Begin to thank him for all the things that he has done. And then secondly, take hold of Seth. You say, Lord, you know the weight on my heart today. I'm bringing Seth to you right now. I ask you to protect him. I ask you, dear Father, to take away all the evil influences of his friends around him who are trying to lead him in the wrong direction. I ask you, Lord, even to replace those friends with other friends who know you and love you and will bring Seth to you. I cast this burden over onto your shoulders and ask you that you take this burden and carry it for me as you intervene in the life of Seth. When you're tempted to take up that burden again, remind yourself of the fact that you have released that to God, that you have let go of that and have entrusted that concern to him. And then continue to regularly ask God and request that thing to God until you receive an answer to that prayer. Last week I spoke about a woman who prayed week after week, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, for 42 years for her husband to come to salvation. And she continually prayed until eventually she was building a bridge that caused her husband to intersect with who God is and come to salvation. I also talked about George Mueller, who believed that God had called him to start an orphanage. And he didn't tell anybody about his desire to do that. He didn't tell anybody about a plan. He planned that he had to do that. And he had a man come up out of the blue and offered to give him some money to start an orphanage. Well, he did indeed start an orphanage there and went on during his 66 years of ministry to start more orphanages than any other mission or missionary organization. And he prayed about every one of those orphanages, and they all came about as a result of his prayers. George Mueller knew what it was to intercede on behalf of others. God is calling you and I to intercede in prayer. The Holy Spirit will direct and guide our intercession. And when you pray, remember that Jesus is interceding for you and that the Holy Spirit is interceding for you as well. I'd like us to pray now, so if you'll bow your heads and let's kind of focus upon God for just a moment. And I want you to think about maybe the heaviest burden that you're carrying right now. And imagine walking up to Jesus and throwing that burden over onto his shoulders. And then watch him walk away with that burden and thank him each day that he's continuing to intercede in the way that is best for you and that for which you pray. In our lesson from Romans today, we heard these words, that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So we know that as we intercede for others, as we pray for them, that God will do that which is best for us and that which is best for them. But he continues to ask us to pray and not lose heart. So Lord, would you inspire us to pray each day and to intercede for others, to pray for their needs, to lift up their requests to you. Lord, that we might be that bridge builder that would connect not only us to you, but also that would connect them to you as well. And Lord, as we lift up the various requests that concern us, that are on our hearts. Would you relieve us from having to carry those burdens, and instead fill us with that peace that passes understanding, knowing that you're at work in each situation. I ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.